Good morning. It's good to be here in Baltimore and to see you. And usually I'm too intimidated by everyone sitting there, so I'm not really looking at everyone. But it's great to be here to see you and to be welcomed, you know, this way. It's so always so such a blessing, so special. And also I wanted to thank Pastor Dennis Hewlett and his wife Jane. They're in Berlin right now. Kind of filling in for us, and I mean, probably doing a much better job. I was thinking that. No, we don't compare ourselves, and that's the message. Actually, a little introduction for this morning. So I don't know why I said that. You know, I'm thinking about this. It shows how important it is to think about it. You know, and I wanted us to please turn to James chapter 3. Lord, please bless these words this morning and speak to us. Lord, there's so much wisdom in your words, so much encouragement, so much joy, such a high calling and holy calling. And you have food for us. You have words for us of life. You fill us with your Holy Spirit, and we thank you, God. Help us to look to you, to look to you in everything, God, to look to you for our needs, to look to you for help in times of need, to look to you when we're troubled, to look to you to fill us and to give us life. Please bless these words also this morning and the rest of the service, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've read these verses before in James chapter 3. I mean, of course, we probably read every verse before. But Pastor Shella, I've been talking about this, and I've been thinking about these verses lately, and they have blessed me in James chapter 3, verse I'll read just from verse 13 to verse 18. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth." Maybe we pause here. Let's pause here. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This is almost like an objective standard that can help us. Like if I have bitter envy, if I have jealousy in my heart, if I am self-seeking, guess what? I'm not really spiritual. Right? If in 1 Corinthians 3, there's another test. Right, like if I compare myself, if I am seeking to be associated with a certain group, if I sow this unity, guess what? I'm not spiritual. I'm carnal. And this self-seeking is really at the root of many problems. This comparison, because I have to compare myself constantly to be jealous. I see something in someone else that I don't have or that I think I should have, and I compare myself, and it causes something in me. It provokes bitterness. There's no love for that person. There's maybe no love for myself. I reject myself deep inside instead of seeking something different, and that's what the verses here talk about. He says first, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. This is not from above. This is not from above. Please make no mistake. This is not from above. This is kind of the stuff that's rooted within us. It comes from, not just within us, actually. It comes also from without. It's being stirred up in us. It's being provoked. It's coming from the atmosphere. And this kind of wisdom is dangerous. Because it is wisdom, after all. It is considered wise. It's considered normal. It's considered good by many. By us sometimes. And you know the German word, everyone says Zeitgeist, right? Zeitgeist. It's not Zeitgeist. It's Zeitgeist. So you learned something this morning. Zeitgeist. T, like, think of a TS, you know? Zeitgeist. It's a spirit of the age. And I was thinking when Pastor Shelley, when you mentioned those antennas that people have, they pick things up. We see this on outreach all the time. All the time. Like people say, you know, I'm the kind of guy that thinks for himself, and I, you know, there's maybe something, there's certainly some force or some, you know, something, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's God or Jesus or, you know, I've heard this so many times. I can't even tell you how many times. And I've started to think, you know what, I think the reason why you think that way is not because you're so free in your thinking and so independent and so much thinking for yourself, but it's because you live in the 21st century in a Western country with this kind of philosophy being all around you. All around you. You're picking this up. It's wisdom from below. It's wisdom from below, and we need to challenge people in that. This is not you per se. I mean, there's your flesh, you know, and this kind of thinking appeals to our flesh because it's about us. It's self-seeking. And how convenient, right? How convenient this kind of philosophy is for my flesh. It doesn't have to die. It's not being told that there's anything wrong. And but there's something different. It says in verse 16, well, let's read verse 16. It says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." And I don't just want to apply this to the unbeliever, right? I mean, James is writing, this could be us. "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything are there." Wow. This is a warning, right? A good warning. And every time I read a warning in the Bible, I tell myself, why is it there? God doesn't want me to go there. If there's a warning about hell, God doesn't want people to go there. That's why there's a warning. If there's a warning about losing rewards, God doesn't want you to lose rewards. He wants you to have a full reward. That's why he's warning us. And he's saying, oh, what a beautiful verse 17. "But the wisdom from that is from above..." But the wisdom that is from above. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Like one time I went on outreach. It was a homeless outreach. And there was a brother from another church, and he was talking to someone who lived on the street. I don't know if he was maybe a drug. I think he was had an alcohol addiction. And you know, sometimes this happens. People give you this image of themselves. Everything is fine. It's great. You know, like, but obviously you live on the street. It's super cold out here. Like, you know, you're shaking. You're smelling. You know. Do you want to really tell me that everything is good with you? Like, everything is all right? You're doing well? And but this brother, he was patiently listening for his opportunity. He was listening, and he said, "You know what? But there's another voice." And he talked about politics and how the politicians are responsible, you know, how this is wrong, and this is wrong, this is wrong. And he's like, "Yeah, okay, I get what you're saying, but there's another voice." We talked about this a little bit at the pastor's retreat. There's another voice. And that's the wisdom that comes from above. And it kind of penetrates through all this nonsense. All this stupid, you know, like, we know what it is. But it goes right through it. And the man was quiet. And he listened. You know, and I've seen this also when people say these things about, you know, "I think for myself." And like, you can say, "Yeah, but there's something different. And I want you to hear about this." And it's another voice. It's the voice of God. It's the voice of wisdom from above. And that wisdom is for you. God wants you to have something different, to receive from Him, to receive His word, to receive His grace, to receive what His Son has done on the cross. And it has a totally different source. It's not you. It comes from above. It is pure. It's undefiled. There's nothing of you in it. And that's what you need. That's what you need. And that will set you free from yourself. And I was thinking, what a great, I mean, I've been really blessed by these messages about this passage. And I didn't want to go to anything else. I thought, let's keep this in mind. Let's think about this. These are amazing verses. And, you know, we could talk for weeks about this. It's so important. And thank you, everyone, really, for praying for us, for being with us, for, like, encouraging us. Encouragement is so great. And it's such a blessing to be here. Please pray for us in Berlin also. Visit us before Eurocon, maybe, if you'd like. Visit the small churches. Krakow, I think about Krakow a lot. Wrocław, Gdańsk. I mean, they would be like blessed out of their socks to have visitors. You know, they would be so blessed. And you could make such, you could have such an impact by encouraging them. And I know this is on our hearts. And that's, yeah, thank you. God bless. Amen.
All right, if you would stand, please, open your Bibles to Hosea chapter 2. Grace, 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 forgiveness, mercy, salvation, grace of God, mercy, peace, forgiveness, birth, new birth, finished work. How about this verse? Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us first, And He sent His Son to be the propitiation. Being lost. Do you remember that? And having burning desire in my life. I want that thing. I want that thing. I don't know. Man, that's amazing. I have no control over. I feed my desire. I want it. I want it. And it starts small. And I think about what I want. And it grows in my mind. And this is what I want. Okay? So, wow. I'm going to, Father, pray, help us as believers, lead us in grace and knowing You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Stephens' message was so good. I agree. The wisdom from above is really different from the wisdom below. And it's a big and important text. James, actually the whole epistle of James, is one of my favorite books in the Bible because of the illustrations and the graphic, passionate way of communicating about people's fundamental problems. And I mentioned just a minute ago about this desire and passion that people have in their hearts. And that is written in James chapter 4, based on wisdom from below. But before we go there, I would like to speak about the new covenant and the grace of God that God has given by sending his son. When God sent his son, he gave us the most important thing we need. We need a new life. We need a new heart. We need new desires. We have something more we need, but I don't have it. I don't have it. I have my life, my heart, my desires. Let's make it a little more practical. Turn to Hosea chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 2 is the preface for chapter 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. This is chapter 1, verse 2. Okay. Take, the Lord said to Hosea, who was a prophet, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. This is a prostitute. Take a woman that has sold her body and lived promiscuously, and then God compares it to the land of Israel, filled with fornication and adulteries, whoredoms. How about the United States of America? In the movies, in our literature, in the magazines, in the TV programs, in the talk shows, okay? It's filled with this, because the heart of man has desire. Desire for a woman. A woman has a desire for a man. A desire for intimacy, desire for sex, a desire for relationships. Yes. So the prophet did it, and he took this woman. And God uses this relationship to parallel his relationship with Israel. And Israel is going after other gods, running after her lovers. Chapter 2 in verse 6. Behold, no, I'm sorry, verse 5. For their mother has played the harlot. She has conceived them. That conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after many lovers. Many lovers. Let's write that down here. Many lovers. Our message we could list, you know, how many, I don't know, but we could make a list, and they could all be very reasonable, the lovers that we go after. I would say it would be normal for a single woman, a woman not married, to want to have a husband. What's wrong with that? I would like to have a husband. What's wrong with that? That's a desire that is normal, and a desire that I have in my life. I would like to have a friend. What's wrong with that? I would like to have a friend, a business. I'd like to have some money in the bank. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that in itself. We are somehow made with a design, and it's a beautiful design, but there's a problem. Because it is called, it's a desire that is like, let's say, normal. And then there is the desire that is what God is talking about. You will go after your lovers, but you will not come after me. You will go after your lovers and your desires, and your desires actually become like fuel, energy, like passion. And when your desire becomes strong enough, you lay in bed thinking of how you're going to get what you want, and you will even hurt people to get it. I will even cheat. I will deceive. I will lie. I will steal to get what I want. I will sleep with the man in order to get the man. And God is saying, look at verse 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns, make a wall, that she shall not find her path. She shall follow after her lovers, but she will not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. And for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. It sounds to me that God gave common grace and all of the blessings that I have. I could even prepare my life for Baal. But God is saying, Baal didn't give you those things. I gave you those things. I gave you your life. I gave you your birth physically. I gave you your new birth spiritually. You are born again and you have a new heart. Let's say it this way. We have many lovers here, but when Jesus came into this world, he gave us a new birth, a spiritual birth. New life. God came close to us. God came in us. God, the Holy Spirit, came in. I have a desire for a husband, a woman could say. I have a desire for a child, a family could say. And then the new heart says yes. What does the new heart say? God. God. You see, there's a difference. I have a desire, but now I have God. It's God now. It's the new birth. It's the Holy Spirit. And this is the wisdom from above that we didn't have before. Because it is very possible when you lie in bed. I have a piece from, Plato and Cicero. Plato says, the sole cause of wars and revolutions and battles is nothing other than the body and its desires. This is read also in James chapter 4. I think we should take a look at it. Turn to James 4. And this came up in our pastor's meeting at our table, verse 1. It follows the wisdom from above and the wisdom from below texts that Pastor Stephen used this morning and we did last week. In James 4:1, where do the wars and fightings In a marriage, where do they come from? In amongst countries, Canada, the United States, Mexico, Europe, China, where do wars and fightings? We try to be good neighbors to our countries on our borders, but where do wars and fightings come from? In a church, in an organization, in the police department, where do they come from? At the university, in the back room, at the football team, where do the wars and fightings come from? In the hospital administration, in the departments of our governments and so on. Where do the fightings come from? They come even of your lust that war in your members. And I want to put here this word, desires. Because you can feed your desires. Imagine them. I want more money. I don't want that man in the department anymore. I'm going to remove him. Or I'm going to try to get rid of this thing. And the desires that we have in our hearts work this way as we are thinking about it. Cicero says, it is the insatiable desires which overturn not only individual men, but whole families, which even bring down the state. From desires that spring hatred, schisms, discords, seditions, and wars. Desire is at the root of all the evils that ruin life and divide men. There are men that could be amongst us and they have a desire to cause trouble. They want to sow the discord. Well, I'm a little bit off in my message because I wanted to build you up in grace in the beginning, but I went in this direction now in the message. But I want to go, let's think about this. God wants us to have peace. God wants us to be satisfied. God wants us to not fight. God wants us to lie down in green pastures. God wants us to have wisdom that is from above, that is first pure, hagnos. There's eight words there for the wisdom from above. And purity or holiness is the first word for the wisdom from above. It's holy. It's the fear of God. It's, Lord, I have this desire, but I want to bring it to you because I know your way and your life and your Holy Spirit is the way of peace for me. So the steps of the process of craving and desiring is simple. A man allows himself to desire something, and that thing begins to dominate his thoughts. He finds himself involuntarily thinking about it in his waking hours and dreaming of it when he sleeps. It becomes what is aptly called a ruling passion. He begins to form imaginary schemes to obtain it, and these schemes may well involve ways of eliminating those who stand in his way. For long enough, all this may go on in his mind. Then one day, the imaginings blaze into action, and he may find himself taking the terrible steps necessary to obtain his desire. Every crime in this world has come from desire, which is only a feeling in the heart, but which, being nourished long enough, came in the end to action. Well, how, in James chapter 4, how is this craving and desire dealt with? But it says here, in verse 4 of 4, you adulterers and adulteresses. And this is keeping Hosea in mind, that Hosea and his wife, and she's a friend of the world in verse 4, and is an enemy of God. When we were in our meetings with the pastors, I think the first night we had like 2 hours together, and we had prayer, and we just really, the room was just filled with men of God praying, and it was beautiful. This is what is needed in our lives. Because without it, without the holiness, then I don't have the wisdom from above. I can be clever, but in my cleverness, I can get what I desire and hurt people and be ungodly. But I can get it, but it's ungodly. But when Jesus came, he showed us this other way, and it was the way of God. God's ways are not man's ways. Way of God is holy. And the holiness of God is what makes a church different from everything else. The holiness of God is a new desire, a new thing. I desire a husband. Okay, we understand. Or a wife, or a child, or a new job, or whatever it may be. Yes. But what God is saying, you haven't desired me. You don't have this. I come to give it to you. I sent Christ into the world so it would be ours. And this new heart and desire can be fed. We feed it. We lie down in our beds, and instead of our passions and desires based on our self-life, we become more in faith, asking God to fill us with his Spirit and God to give me a desire for the things that are above, setting our affection on things above. This is the seed of the word in Luke 8, that word that is sown in a good heart. Well, I don't have a good heart, but God gave us a new heart. We have a new heart. We have a new heart now. God gave us a new heart. And the seed is sown in the good heart. And it bears fruit, it grows. And this is where we now escape the desires and passions of the natural man. This restlessness that is so endemic in people is divine contentment. The Holy Spirit gives us divine contentment. We live in a country where the marketplace dominates. I want to sell you something. I'm selling you something. You need this. You need this. What do you want? What do you need? What do you desire? We will make it for you. We will produce it. We will sell it to you. Sometimes we will read what you want and give it to you, and then sometimes we will tell you what you need and we will sell it to you. But what if I don't need anything, or I need very little? Food and raiment. What if all I have is simply my life with God? What if all that I have is God? Psalm 73 says, that's enough. Nothing do I have in heaven but you, and nothing on earth but only you. Isn't that a mystery? And people would maybe ridicule us for such a message in such a rich country and such vibrant living. get life and anything and feed it and go for it. But what about this? Jesus Christ came and he is God and he is enough. What about that? The things that we really desire are the things that you can't handle with your hands. You cannot handle them with your hands. They are invisible. For we see the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. That we have found a mystery. We have found words. We have found words of life. I have thoughts, spirit, love. Every family wants love. It's so beautiful. You have a group of people and you even have a family. What a blessing. But you can go through the human race, family after family, and you find, what happened? How did it disintegrate? How is it they don't talk to each other? What happened? Wait, how did the fight happen in the kitchen? How did the mother get offended over the spaghetti sauce? How did Eddie not talk to Jimmy anymore? What happened? They haven't talked for 10 years. How did the family disintegrate? It's the human heart without God. And how did we find 180 pastors? I don't know what the number is. But how did we find a couple days? I woke up this morning with a little smile on my face, just recalling Doug Wombold, Pastor Brian, Pastor, you know, the pastors and words and wisdom. And Pastor Risto came from Finland for these couple days. And to see Pastor Morrison, Pastor Risto shared with us, he flew over to Boston. He drove to Pastor Morrison's house and sat with Pastor Morrison and Dawn. And he just loved them and remembered the years in Finland when Pastor Morrison made a big impact on Pastor Risto. Pastor Morrison went to Finland by faith, with another desire. A desire for God is the greatest desire that we have, the most important thing. The hunger and the desire for God is what our whole life hinges off of that. The hunger for God and desire for God. And Pastor Risto said he just sat, they had tears together, love together, and it was a beautiful time. And then he came down to the pastor's retreat and he flagged out today, I think, from New York back to Europe. It's a great, beautiful thing he did. This is the grace of God that we have. The grace of God that I would have something more in my life than just my small desires. That if I feed them, it may lead me into, if they are, the kernel of them are selfish. The kernel of my desire, the essential element is I am selfish. I am selfish. This is mine. This is what I want. This is mine. This is my life. This is my family. This is mine. This is my church. This is my life. Jesus said, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Not a common word today. Yes, feed yourself, give to yourself, treat yourself, bless yourself, get it all that you can, take it all, feed your desires. No, that's where the fightings come from. the fightings that cause so much pain is coming from me feeding my desires for pleasure, my desires for my life, my desires for my way, and for my family and my things. There's a secret, and it is God. Two prayers. The first, Adam, my will be done. Second prayer in Gethsemane, Jesus, your will be done. You, how about that? You, what do you want? How about that idea? That resonates with you and I. We want to know, what do you want? What do you want? It's your business. It's your kingdom. It's yours. What do you want? What are you doing? What is your plan? This is wisdom from above. What are you doing, Lord? You may give me a short life. And what is it that glorifies you? You don't owe me anything. You don't owe me a good life. You don't owe me a long life, a long good life. God, you don't owe me anything. If you give me one day, thank you very much. If you give me a life to live, that's amazing. And if it's a single life, that's your business. And give me a husband if you would, Lord. I'd love to have one. But I can't feed that thing because I'm going to feed something else. I'm going to seek that which is above. And you're going to take care of me and fill me. And I won't have the fighting that is in my life, the fighting, the crazy, foolish fighting that people have that is foolish and hurtful and painful and unnecessary, rooted in my flesh. Be spirit-filled. That's it. It's a good message, actually. It is. Matthew 16. You know, we said Jesus didn't teach be filled with the Holy Spirit in the Gospels, but Paul did in the epistles. He said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But Jesus didn't say those words. John the Baptist said it this way, I baptize you with water, but another coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. But Jesus didn't say, be filled with the Spirit. Instead, he said, if you lose your life, you will gain your life. That's another way of saying, at the cross, you lose your rights to yourself and you'll gain the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will fill you and you'll be free. You won't care the same about other things that other people care about. You'll care about more important things, and hopefully God will give us the sense of what the practical things are and how to be responsible. I want to be responsible, but I may not know what that means because I don't know what the important thing is. And maybe God will help me if I get the wisdom from above. I'll get to know what is the important thing that needs to be addressed. Where is the love that needs to be given? He mentioned in the offering that the pastor needed to love his people more, something along those lines. And I understand that. Yes, we need, but a man cannot meet the needs of the church. A man cannot meet the needs of people. A man, I cannot, nobody can meet our needs as people. We must shift from what I need as a person, and become mature and say, what is God doing? And God can meet my needs. I remember, I'll tell you this in closing. My wife and I were newly married, and after a period of time, she realized I could not be what she needed. You know, like she realized this man, you know, my hero, this knight on shining armor, is more like an ugly toad. Yeah, this guy isn't the guy, you know what I mean? He isn't the guy. Wow, it's like, whoa. And I remember this. I was so thankful for it. But she went alone by herself. And she, you know, like she found God. And she lives this way. Yes, he can't meet my need. But God, and long before a woman gets married, it's very good if she will find, I could destroy a marriage because of my selfishness. It's very good for a boss of a company to say, I could wreck my company because I'm selfish and make demands on people. I want to find another way. And this is what we said today. We need it. Lose your life and you'll find it. And when you find it, you feed that. And as you feed that, you'll be contented and satisfied with what you got. You're right. Be satisfied with what I got. Thank you. This is what I got. It's okay. Thank you, Lord. And if you chase after many lovers, he says, she cannot catch them, find them. So she returned to her first husband, which I understood to be Hosea, who is representing God. So come back after you do your journey and find how empty and sad and there's thorns and hedged in way. And come back to your first husband in principle. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, these are for our help. Help us and lead us in Jesus' name. Anyone here not a believer in Christ, this is an invitation. Please believe in Jesus Christ in your heart. In your heart, believe in him and you are born again. Yes, Lord, thank you. And raise your hand if you're saying the prayer, or send us an email if you're on the internet for our encouragement. It's up to you, but walk by faith in Christ. He loves you and has forgiven you. And then for our encouragement this morning, Lord, that if there's any area in our life where we need this, may we apply it in our hearts in faith and follow you and trust you and mature and grow and help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand with us?
This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give.
going to close on, if the pastors can come down here and pray, and maybe somebody in the audience wants a prayer for something physical, something in their life, maybe a desire that you want to share with somebody and pray. There's a deep desire. You want to see it come to pass in your life. You can pray with somebody up front here, okay? So let's dismiss ourselves. Father, thank you. Thank you for this life of where you give us your fullness. And you meet all of the desires of our hearts, God. And you give us your fullness so that we lack nothing. God, dismiss us in Christ's name. Amen. So you're welcome to come up front and have prayer with us, okay?